Okay, 15th premise is love does not imply pacifism. And part of the reason I wrote this book is because Endgame, which I don't have them here, but they're big. There's two volumes, huge book, is because when I would do talks about the question of fighting back, the audience response was really predictable. And that is that mainstream environmental activists and sort of mainstream peace and social justice activists would put up what I've taken to calling a Gandhi shield. And that's they would start to say the words Martin Luther King, Dalai Lama, Gandhi, again and again, as quickly as they can. To keep all evil thoughts at bay. And then grassroots environmentalists would do the same thing, and then they would come up to me after the talk and say, thank you for bringing this up. And then other audiences had entirely different responses, which is a lot of people of color, especially poor people of color, a lot of American Indians, a lot of family farmers, a lot of survivors of domestic violence, a lot of radical environmentalists, all the prisoners, would have an entirely different response, which is they would look at me like, tell us something we don't know. Let's go, bro. I realized that difference came because for those latter groups, violence is not some spiritual abstract question to be puzzled through. It's simply a part of life, and you deal with it. And that doesn't mean you participate, that doesn't mean you don't participate. It means that it's not capital V violence, it's not reified into this big thing. It's part of life. And then I realized, or what started happening is that whenever I would do these talks, the responses by the dogmatic pacifists were really, once again, predictable. And they would throw out all the same cliches. And what I wanted to do was write a short little pamphlet that I would just, I got so sick of answering them that I would just write this pamphlet and hand it to them. And then that turned into an 1,100-page book. and you see why tonight. So I want to go through a couple of the premises. Like one of them, they say, God, Derek, you're so divisive. You're so dualistic. You talk about us and them. You talk about an enemy, but there is no enemy. And you're talking about winning and losing. You talk about winning. Well, by the way, yes, I want to win. We are going to win. And what winning means to me is living on a livable planet. What living means to me, once again, is living in a world with more wild salmon every year than the year before. I want to win. I'm going to win. I am not going to fucking lose this. Okay, anyway, so... what?
Thank you.
Oh, thanks. So people will say, you know, you're so divisive. There is no us and them. And you're being dualistic and dualism is bad. And I would say, ah, so what you're telling me is dualism bad, non-dualism good. Checkmate. I thought that was somehow symbolic. And another thing they would say is, you know, Derek, obviously what we really need to do is we really need to love more. And if we just love the CEOs, then they will, you've gotten this one too. They will just, well, I don't know what the fuck they'll do, but they'll do something. And so you just need to love more, because if you really loved, Derek, if you deeply loved, you could never even consider fighting back. I disagree that love implies pacifism, and I think that Mother Grizzly Bears will back me up on this one. I grew up in the country, and in my life, I have been attacked by mother horses, cows, dogs, cats, chickens, geese, hawks, eagles, hummingbirds, spiders, mice, who thought I was attacking their babies. And if a mother mouse will attack someone 6,000 times her size and win, what the hell's wrong with us? I realize that actually they're right when they say that if I just loved enough, no. That what I need to do is love. They're wrong when they say that if you really love yourself, if you really love enough, then you'll never fight back. They're wrong when they say that. But they're right when they say that what we need is more love. And we do. We need to love ourselves. We need to love ourselves enough that we don't put up with this shit. We need to love ourselves enough that we say no more. We need to love ourselves enough to say, you are not going to do this to me or to those I love. And we need to love the land where we live enough that we will, you know, I love the land where I live so much. It's at 17 feet elevation. And for the last couple of years, we in the neighborhood have been fighting this one developer who's trying to destroy this little forest that's right next door. And I was talking to my mom the other day about global warming. And my mom said, and she probably won't live to see this, but my mom said that if the sea rises in her lifetime, she'll kill herself because she doesn't want to see this land she loves go under. I said, so are you going to take anybody else out first? So another one that they throw out all the time is you can't use the master's tools to dismantle the master's house. They said all the time. And I can guarantee a couple things. One is that the people who say that have never read the essay from which it comes, because that has nothing to do with pacifism. What it has to do with is we need a multivariate approach to a problem that's multivariate. That's all Audre Lorde's saying. And that's what we're talking about here. And the other thing I can guarantee is that Audre Lorde never worked construction, because it's a terrible metaphor. It doesn't matter whose tools you use. I can use my tools, I can use your tools, I can use the master's tools, I can use my cousin's tools. A hammer is a hammer. And it's really stupid. Are we going to say to Tecumseh, you know, sorry, you can't use the guns that you picked up from the white people to keep them from taking your land? It's like, no, that's really silly. I have no interest. My job as an activist is not to be spiritually pure. I have no interest. I have zero interest in spiritual purity. What I have interest in is confronting and dismantling power. And I don't fucking care how I do it. So it's like, oh, another problem with that metaphor, the way it's used, is that presumes that violence is one of the master's tools. But those in power are trying to tell us they own the land, they're trying to tell us they own the water, they're trying to tell us they own genetic materials, they're trying to tell us they own the air. I'll be goddamned if I give them violence too. You know, they don't own it. And I think, once again, Mother Grizzly Bears are going to back me up on this one. What's another one they throw out? Anybody in here have my book, A Language Older Than Words? Okay, those of you who have that book, do you also have a razor blade? Okay, if you do, take the chapter called Violence Revisited, cut out the pages, crumple them up, throw them away. Because I say something in that chapter that is so embarrassing. I can't even... I'm embarrassed. I can't even hardly say. It's like admitting to being a compulsive masturbator, which I'm not. Okay. So I missed it.
Who says who the fuck cares?
Well, okay, we can talk about that then. Okay, so anyway, what I say in that chapter is that if you fight back, I'd rather talk about masturbation, frankly. If you fight back, you run the risk of becoming like they are. That is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. Does this mean that when Tecumseh fought back, he ran the risk of becoming like the people who were stealing their land? Does this mean that the woman who kills a rapist runs a risk of becoming a rapist? Does this mean that the tiger who kills a zookeeper runs a risk of becoming a zookeeper? It's utterly nonsensical. Let's do one more cliche that they throw out. This is the worst one. This is also a really bad one. They always say violence never accomplishes anything. That is obscene. Okay, if violence doesn't accomplish anything, that means that all the Africans who came over on the Middle Passage, they just signed up. You know, it's like they jumped on the boats and said, here, let's go over and then let's work in the fields. What this means is that when the whites arrived on this continent, that the Indians said, hey, you want some land? Here you go. You can have it. There's a great line by Robin Morgan. She says, anywhere in the world, any woman can be walking alone late at night. And if she hears footsteps behind her, she has reason to be afraid. She calls that the democracy of fear. Systematic terrorization of women by men has changed the behavior of half of the human population. Don't tell me that violence doesn't accomplish anything. Violence is dreadfully effective. That's why they use it.